Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Everybody, and welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the AFC and the NFC. I've been breaking down all the NFL divisions in my previous shows, and this is my last division I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to be breaking down the AFC West and the NFC West. We're going to talk about the teams in each division. We're going to talk about who's going to come first, in my opinion, who's going to come first in the division. Then I'm also going to talk about the Rio Olympics and what a disaster it's been. You know, all this stuff leading up to the Olympics, how Brazil has totally screwed everything up. So I'm going to talk about those things. But first, I want to give a shout out to all the NFL Hall of Famers that's going to be getting, you know, going to be getting enshrined on Saturday night. And first, I want to start off with Brett Favre. He was a Packers great. I mean, that's the team he was known for. He played with the Packers. He played one season with the Jets, and he played one with the Vikings. And he's more known as a Packer. He's a Packer legend. I've been up there to the stadium, beautiful stadium. He has a restaurant right next to the stadium. So he's going to go down as a Packer. But he has one Super Bowl championship. He won three straight league MVPs. And he has countless NFL records that he still holds today. I mean, the guy has, like, over 130 records in the NFL. That's crazy. The next player that's going to be enshrined is Marvin Harrison. He's an 8-time NFL Pro Bowler. He has one Super Bowl championship, and he finished his career with 1,102 receptions, 14,580 yards, and 128 touchdowns. So he had a productive career. Marvin Harrison was the truth. The strange thing is that I never knew Marvin Harrison was a thug guy because Marvin was so quiet. You know, he's so quiet on the field. He never really spoke to the media. He just seemed like a gentle, quiet person. But you remember a few years ago that story came out about Marvin Harrison having somebody murdered in Philadelphia. I mean, we don't know it was true. It wasn't proven to be true, but you know, Marvin Harrison had some thug issues that we never knew about. But that doesn't take away from what he did on the football field. Tony Dungy, his former coach, he's also going in. And he led the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl championship in 2007. And Dungy finished his career with a career record of 139-69. And this was between Indianapolis and Tampa Bay. He coached at both squads as the head coach, and that was his overall record for both teams, which is a good record. And, you know, truthfully, if you want to be real about it, John Gruden, Tony Dungy's team, and won the Super Bowl. That team that won the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay, when they destroyed Oakland, Tony Dungy put that team together. So he really, they should give him an honorary ring because he put that team together. But he basically got fired from Tampa Bay. Gruden came in and took that team to the Super Bowl, and they won. And Gruden had an advantage because he had previously just coached the Raiders, so he knew them inside and out. And Tampa Bay, like, just destroyed Oakland in that Super Bowl. So Tony Dungy, he's going in. Then you have Kevin Green. He's going in. 5-time Pro Bowler. One Super Bowl championship, 773 tackles, 160 sacks, 5 interceptions, and 23 forced fumbles. Kevin Green was a beast, and he's known for being a Steeler. He was with the Steelers, and then he ended up finishing up with Carolina. So he's well-deserved. He'll be getting the shrine Saturday night. And then you have one of the best offensive linemen probably of all time, Orlando Pace. He was a monster at Ohio State. He got drafted number one by the Rams. He was a Super Bowl champion, seven-time Pro Bowler, and he was a part of the NFL All-Decade team for the 2000s. So Orlando Pace, he's definitely deserving of it. And then you have San Francisco 49ers owner Eddie DeBartolo Jr. Under his ownership, the 49ers became a dynasty and won 5 Super Bowls in 14 years. And you know most of those championships came with all those legends that the 49ers had, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, John Taylor, Dwight Clark, I mean, just Roger Craig, just to name a few. So most of those championships came with those guys. So he was one of the best owners. So he's deserving of a spot. And then this guy, he should have been in, Stabler, the Snake. He's a Super Bowl champion, 4-time Pro Bowler, and the NFL League MVP. He should have been in because that guy, he produced, and he's one of the most exciting players of his era. So I thought he would have been got in, and it's kind of sad because he passed away, you know, some years ago. So he can't, you know, he got to receive this honor. His family's going to receive this honor for him when he should have been, you know, on the stage giving his enshrinement speech. They should have put him in years ago. So they decided to add him now. And then you have Dick Stanfield. I don't know this guy, but he's an old-time player. He's a 5-time NFL Pro Bowler, a 2-time NFL champion. See, that's saying something. That's before the NFL, you know, became what it is. And he's an NFL champion and a Super Bowl champion. They didn't have any Super Bowls back then. It was just, you know, the NFL. So he's a 2-time NFL champion. He won 1 Super Bowl, and he's a part of the NFL All-Decade team for the 1950s. If you want to talk about any of these Hall of Famers I just spoke about and what you think about them, maybe one of them is your favorite player, then you can hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. All the guys that's getting enshrined on Saturday is Brett Favre, Marvin Harrison, Tony Dungy, Kevin Green, Orlando Pace, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., Kenny the Snake Stabler, and Dick Stanfield. All these guys are going to receive the highest honor on Saturday night. They're going to receive their yellow jackets on Friday. Then they'll be enshrined, you know, with the statuette of their head, and they'll be up on stage giving their speech. All that stuff is going to happen Saturday. So I just want to give a shout-out to these Hall of Famers. And like I said, if you want to talk about any of these guys I just spoke about, you can hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. Or if you want to talk about the NFC West or the NFC West, maybe one of your favorite teams is in this division. I'm going to end up taking a commercial break here, and then when I come back, I'm going to get off into the AFC West. We get into that first. So if you want to talk about any of these topics or throw any topic at me about sports, it just don't matter, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we never saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Corrupted by the kung fu we
get. God prepare me for the war. Kung fu be the thing that'll make a king fall. Eyes on the law, gotta grip that blade of the sword. Tell me how you plan on getting swole if you don't ever get saw.
Hold up.
They say, Andy, this ain't music for your car. If they jumpin' ship, now nah, they was never on board. I got enemies, man, they wanna see me on the floor. I got frenemies, couldn't even tell you who they are. If you're not driven by the mission, you'll be driven by the cause. Focus on what you been getting, more than becoming who you are. I tried to point them to the sun, but why they calling me a star? Who would've thought we set their minds?
Yeah, what's going on? This Sports Chat with T-Wash. Okay, I'm going to start off with the AFC West, the world champion Broncos. The champs ended the 2016-2017 season with questions at the team's most vital spot. The quarterback position is up for grabs in Broncos camp. With the retirement of the great Peyton Manning, the job will go to Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian, or either rookie Paxton Lynch. But right now, the odds-on favorite to win the job is veteran Mark Sanchez, who has a history of being just an average quarterback. And, I mean, he has a history. I've seen plenty of Mark Sanchez when he used to play for the Jets. He used to drive me nuts because he used to make plays against my Patriots, but then he used to make bonehead plays against them too. I mean, who could ever forget the butt fumble? It's one of the most hilarious plays ever. And I love that game because that game, the Patriots destroyed the Jets. It was in New York, in MetLife Stadium. Patriots destroyed them. But last year he finished with the Eagles. His offensive output was 616 yards, four touchdowns, and four interceptions. So he kind of split time last season, but he left the Eagles and he signed with the Broncos as a free agent. I mean, Sanchez, we never really seen what he can do with a bunch of offensive talent around him. And Sanchez will have plenty of options on offense with Demaryius Thomas, who had 105 receptions, 1,304 yards receiving, and six touchdowns. He also has Emmanuel Sanders to throw the ball to. And he has 76 receptions for 1,135 receiving yards and six touchdowns. And the young Indiana receiver, Cody Lattimore, he's going to be expected to have a breakout season. And he really didn't do much last year. He really didn't get the opportunities, but, you know, with them not having many options in the passing game, like their tight end position is kind of weak, Lattimore should get some more, balls thrown his way. So maybe he can make some plays for him. He's a tall receiver, and that always helps. The return of C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman combination. C.J. Anderson finished last year with 152 attempts, 720 yards, five touchdowns. And Ronnie Hillman finished last season with 207 attempts, 863 yards, and seven touchdowns. So the combination of the two has proven to be very formidable. The Broncos returned a defense that literally led the team to a Super Bowl championship last season. A couple of good players were lost via free agency in Danny Trevathan and Malik Jackson. The loss of these players may not make much of a difference, though, because they returned all-pro linebacker/pass rusher Von Miller, who was a complete terror last season, especially in the playoff run to the Super Bowl. He was basically unblockable. and he won last year's Super Bowl MVP for his performance in the biggest game on the biggest stage. DeMarcus Ware adds more pressure on opposing quarterbacks to go along with a strong secondary of Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, and others. So their defense is on point. And the play of Mark Sanchez is basically going to determine how far Denver goes this season. But the defense is so good, all he has to do is play mistake-free football. And that defense, you know, is probably good enough to get them back to the Super Bowl again. I mean, it just all depends. You know, barring injury, you know, injuries could derail anything. So as long as no one gets hurt and Sanchez can play, you know, at a steady level and not force turnovers, like I said, he's going to be able to ride this defense to another championship. I mean, but, you know, that's why we got to, you know, let them play the games, and that's how we'll find out. Now, the next team in the AFC West, and guys, if you want to chime in on any of these topics, if you want to chime in about the Broncos, if you want to chime in about the Hall of Famers I just blurted out, that's going to be getting enshrined on Saturday, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. Now, this team in the AFC West, I got a good feeling about them, and I think they're going to make some noise, and that's the Oakland Raiders. After finishing last year with a 7-9 record, quarterback Derek Carr looks to take the Raiders to the next level in the 2016-2017 season. After posting good numbers, 3,987 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions, Carr has nowhere to go but up. I mean, he literally has nowhere to go but up. I mean, the guy, he has a good arm. He's tough. He's gritty. He's a fighter. And I just believe he could put up numbers. What's going on? This Sports Chat with T-Watch. Who's calling? What's going on? This Sports Chat with T-Watch. Who's calling? What's going on? Well, whoever that was, I guess they didn't want to talk. Now, like I was saying, Carr has nowhere to go but up. The guy has an arm. He's tough. He's gritty. He's a fighter. And he proved a lot of that last year. So I'm expecting good things out of him. He also has a good receiving core led by Amari Cooper, who led the team with 72 receptions, 1,070 yards receiving, and 6 touchdowns. Crabtree, who a lot of people thought he was going to be, thought he was a bust because he had a couple good years in San Francisco, and then he started tailing off there at the end. So people kind of thought that Crabtree was going to be a bust, that he wasn't, you know, a legit NFL receiver no more. But him and Amari Cooper actually played good together, and they look well. So Crabtree, he finished last season with 85 receptions, 922 yards receiving, and 9 touchdowns. He had more than Amari Cooper. And you also had Andre Holmes and others. So they had a pretty decent receiving core. And they had a tight end. He was really like a blocking tight end, but his name was Lee Smith. He only had 12 receptions for 70 yards and 1 touchdown. But I think the Raiders are going to open up their offense, and they might look to pass him the ball more because he's a big target. He's like 6'7", 260-some pounds. So he could be, you know, one of their red zone guys. And I believe that the tight end Lee Smith, he looks to have more of a contribution to the offense this season. And then you have the running back, Latavius Murray. He returns from a strong season, rushing for 1,066 yards and 6 touchdowns. Expect even bigger role for him in the offense as it pertains to the passing game. I think they'll throw the ball to him out the backfield too. The Raiders have a strong defense that has playmakers who are known for making big plays. Khalil Mack leads this group of misfits, players such as Malcolm Smith, DJ Hayden, David Amerson, and key additions of Bruce Irvin and rookie Shalique Calhoun, who had a pretty decent career at Michigan State, could make Oakland's defense even stronger. Head coach Jack Del Rio is a great defensive mind, you know, and he might just finally have the pieces he needs to put a top 10 defense on the field. I believe the Raiders will be the surprise team in the AFC. And honestly, I think I'm going to go out on a limb and pick them to win the AFC West because of Derek Carr's constant growth as a quarterback. And like I said, he can't do anything but go but up. And he has the running game. Latavius Murray is a good running back. And he has the receiving core. And then, like I said, their defense is doing nothing but getting better. So maybe this would be, you know, a real reason for the black hole, the people that's, you know, a part of the black hole to celebrate. I mean, who knows? Maybe this is the year the Raiders finally do something. What's going on? The Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What you got for me?
Actually, I was hoping you had something for me. I'm excited about football season. I was wondering if you had any advice on some fantasy picks.
Yeah, what I would do and who I take, my first pick, I take Rob Gronkowski.
Okay.
That's who I take first. A lot of guys I know take quarterbacks, well, take running backs first, and then they may get their quarterback. Me, I always start off with Rob Gronkowski. If he's there, I'm going to take him. If not, then I would tell you to take a running back. And that running back, if it's not Adrian Peterson, I would take Todd Gurley if I was you.
Mm-hmm.
The running
okay.
back out of St. Louis, because he's a good running back. He had an excellent rookie year, and he can't do anything but go, you know, but go up. He can't do anything
mm-hmm.
to get even better this season. And then, you know, there's going to be a lot of energy in L.A. because they have a new team. So, and then he's going to have a decent year to give that rookie quarterback, you know, take some pressure off of him. So if I was you, I would take Gronkowski. And if he's not there, then I would take Todd Gurley. If he's not there, then, you know, take somebody like Adrian Peterson and another guy that I'm probably going to end up taking in my fantasy draft is the rookie that plays for Dallas Cowboys. His name is Ezekiel Elliott. Because
mm-hmm.
they want him to be the way DeMarco Murray was a few years back. And Dallas, they're in so need of a running game. I'm expecting Ezekiel Elliott to get between 250 and 300 carries this season. So I would take him just because of the amount of carries he's going to get. Because the Cowboys know they have to keep the pressure off of Tony Romo because Romo keeps getting hurt. So they need that running attack. You know, that way Tony Romo won't be going back and throwing the ball all the time. They have somebody to
mm-hmm.
run. So those are three guys that I would really consider taking with my first, you know, my first pick. I mean, who do you have an idea of taking? Like, have you played fantasy before?
Yes, last year was my first year playing. And so we initially picked quarterbacks first.
Who was the quarterback you picked?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees? Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
a good pick. The best quarterback I would take would be Aaron Rodgers, though. Aaron Rodgers is guaranteed to give you numbers. I want to
mm-hmm.
say take Andrew Luck, but I don't know how good the Colts offensive line is going to be to protect Andrew Luck. You know, I don't know if he's going to give you a full season. So the best bet is to take Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you could take Drew Brees again. He has a few weapons down in New Orleans. But, yeah, if you could get Aaron Rodgers, take Aaron Rodgers because he's going to put up numbers. And he has his top wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, back. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for the advice.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. Call again. I do this
okay.
show on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 6:30, so feel free to call anytime if you got any type of question about any sport, fantasy football, anything. It doesn't matter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Lisa.
All right.
All right. All right. That was Lisa. She called about fantasy football. So you guys could do that, too. If you want to talk about some fantasy football, if you want to ask me who I think you should pick up, you can do that. 1-516-453-9117. I'll get back to the Raiders. Like I said, I just believe that the Raiders might be that team in AFC West. Like I said, I'm going to go out on a limb and pick them to win the division because I just don't think Mark Sanchez has it where he could lead the Broncos, you know, to prominence. They might get in the playoffs. I believe they'll get a wild card, but I just don't know. I don't know how far they'll get. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
What's going on? It's Gary. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, Gary? It's been a while, man.
Hey, nothing much. A little birdie told me that you were talking about the greatest of all time getting enshrined into the Hall of Fame this weekend. So, you know, I had to call your show and talk about the great Brett Favre.
All right, what you got, man? Tell the people about
greatest quarterback of all time. Man, I would have loved to have been there. But that's my guy. He made me love football. I love watching him. He's one of the best. I got him top three. You know, I know you got your boy Brady number one and the great Peyton, and those are all great quarterbacks. It's really, you know, you really can pick and choose top five quarterbacks, but I just love the way he played the game. He made it exciting. He made it fun. You know, the Packers were never out of a game, really. So many, you know, touchdowns, so many bright memories, man. I'm just really happy for him. And you mentioned Aaron Rodgers going against Andrew Luck in the Hall of Fame game. That's going to be pretty good, too, even though it's just preseason. But, yeah, man, I just had to call and mention my boy Favre, man. And you know, I love him. Thanks for all the memories. We used to go to the Brett Favre Steakhouse in Milwaukee. I went to a hell of Packers games. And that's all I got, man. I'll hang up and listen now. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, Gary was right. Brett Favre is one of the greatest. He is. The only thing that just turned me off about Brett Favre, and it should turn all Packer fans out, is the mistakes, man. The mistakes. You know, me, Gary, his sister, my wife, we were all looking forward to a Packer-Patriots Super Bowl in 2007, you know, when we had the greatest offense a season has ever seen, you know. But Brett Favre, man, Brett Favre turned it to Brett Favre in Lambeau Field, in the snow, throwing them dumb picks. And that's the thing, that's the only thing about Brett Favre. Everything else is flawless. He just throws too many dumb picks and makes too many dumb mistakes. The third team in the AFC West is the Chiefs. Head coach Andy Reid has been able to get the best out of quarterback Alex Smith, who posted numbers of 3,486 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Last season, Smith is known as an average quarterback who doesn't make mistakes. Unfortunately, the Chiefs never seem to have enough to win when it matters most. Last year was one of the best passing seasons of Smith's career. It was. His primary targets were Jeremy Maclin, who had 87 receptions for 1,088 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. And tight end Travis Kelce, who was pretty good, had 875 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. But the true strength of the Chiefs is their run game. And All-Pro Jamal Charles, he set the return this year from last year's knee injury. And the good news for Kansas City, after the Charles injury, saw the discovery of two running backs fresh out of the stables. Spencer Ware, who had 72 carries, 403 rushing yards, and 6 touchdowns. And Charkandrick West, who had 160 carries for 634 yards and 4 touchdowns. So they both did an admirable job filling in for Jamal Charles. I mean, both of these guys, they split the carries and they both were effective. And like I said, the return of Charles could really make the Chiefs' run game special. They may have a legitimate three-headed monster at one position. But the true strength of the Kansas City team is their defense, man. The Kansas City defense is literally full of Pro Bowlers. I mean, you got Justin Houston, you got Eric Berry, you got Dontari Poe, who plugs up the middle and pushes the pocket. You got Marcus Peters on the corner spot, who makes plays, who's a ball hawk. And you got Tamba Hali. I mean, the Chiefs have a championship-caliber defense. If Alex Smith and the offense could rise to the same level, KC could be in business. But I definitely think that they'll get a wild card spot. If not get one, they'll be fighting for one. Like I said, I'm just going out on a limb and saying the Raiders going to win the division. I really like what the Raiders are doing. I really do. And then it's time for the suffering to end for the Raiders. I mean, what? You had the Cleveland, you know, Cavaliers and Cleveland fans suffering. They ended their suffering this year. I believe the Cubs going to end their suffering this year, the Chicago Cubs. And I'm rooting for the Cleveland Indians to make it to the World Series. I mean, how sick would that be to have a Cleveland Indian Chicago Cub World Series? I'm really rooting for that to happen. I mean, I don't know if it will as far as the Indians, but I just, you know, with the free agency pickup of, I mean, with the trade pickup of Aroldis Chapman, the Cubs might be unstoppable now. Now, the last team in the AFC West is the Cellar Dweller, and that's the San Diego Superchargers. And, guys, if you want to call in, talk about any of these topics, ask me about fantasy football players and who you should take and things like that, you can call me up, 1-516-453-9117. Another year for Phillip Rivers to see where he can take the Chargers. He threw for 4,792 yards last season, 29 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. Last season, while losing his top wideout, Keenan Allen, he was able to put up those numbers. So it's not Phillip Rivers' fault that the Chargers are just not good. And the good news is Allen will return this season to join free agent pickup Travis Benjamin, who came from the Cleveland Browns and made plays there. And the Chargers just signed former Packer James Jones because Stevie Johnson got hurt and he's pretty much out for the season already. He got hurt in training camp. And then you never can forget old reliable Antonio Gates, who's still there and still making plays. He had 56 receptions for 630 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now, this guy really disappointed me because I had big expectations for him his rookie season. I picked him up in my fantasy, and he gave me nothing. And, you know, his name is Melvin Gordon. Gary would know about him, former Wisconsin Badger. This guy really needs to take his game to another level. After a disappointing year with 184 carries, 641 yards, and no touchdowns. How are you going to be a first-round running back and not have any touchdowns for the whole season? Now, this guy was the wild card for the team, and I miss him as a Patriot. Danny Woodhead, you know, and he's slated to return after a good season last year, but he got hurt. He got hurt in training camp also. But last season, he finished with 98 carries for 336 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. He also had 80 receptions for 755 yards and 6 touchdowns receiving. Danny Woodhead was a dual threat, and like I said, he did that for my Patriots, and I miss him for that. But like I said, he injured himself in training camp, and his status is currently unknown. Rookie first-rounder Joey Bosa looks to make an immediate impact on defense. The Charger defense lost all-pro safety Eric Weddle to free agency. He made the defense go by calling the plays and making sure everyone had their assignment. Those responsibilities may fall to former Notre Dame star Manti Te'o. The young, inexperienced defense may be the Achilles heel for the Chargers, and I really don't believe they have enough firepower on offense or defense to compete with their division rivals. So it's going to be a long season for the Chargers. What's going on in this Sports Chat with T. Wash? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Casey, a.k.a. Miss Cheesehead herself.
Well, what's going on, Miss Cheesehead? What you got for me?
Just a few things, a few random things, because sports season is really slow right now, but
yes,
I'm quite optimistic I'm quite optimistic about the future of my sports team. Shout out to Brett Favre for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And when does that take place again? This weekend?
Yeah, they're actually going to have the Yellow Jacket celebration on Friday. So that's when they get their jackets. And then Saturday, they'll be enshrined. They'll be in Canton giving their speech on the stage, their enshrinement speech. And that's when you see the head, the head piece, you know, that they carve out of them, of their of their image. And then the game will be on, the Hall of Fame game will be on Sunday, which has your Packers against the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay. Yay. Preseason, though. But, yeah, anyway, Matt Upps to Brett Favre. I loved him when he was a Packer. He was very risky, very risky. He made me nervous sometimes. But for every fumble or every bad play he had a miraculous one, too.
Yeah,
and,
he had a lot of miracle plays, too. I agree.
Yeah, he's a gambler. But congratulations to him. But looking ahead to the Packers and Rodgers, it's Rodgers' team now, and we're going to have a good season this year. Jordy Nelson is back. I heard our running back lost some weight, ready to play. I'm excited about the Packers and also the Bulls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't wait to see them play. It's just going to be awesome.
I agree.
I wish Jimmy Butler was there, though. I miss Jimmy Butler being there.
Jimmy Butler is there. You mean Derrick Rose?
Oh, that's right. Jimmy Butler is there. Yeah, Derrick Rose. But you know what? No, I'm not going to say that. Derrick Rose is with New York now,
New
right?
New York. Yep.
And I think he needed a new change. So,
Yeah, the Bulls need
I'm excited about
too.
The Bulls with Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade. Who else we have?
Taj Gibson. You have Nikola Mirotic. You have Rondo running the point. So
Right. Yeah,
the
so
Bulls,
I'm very optimistic.
Bulls have something special.
Yes, indeed. All right. Thanks a lot, T-Wash. Love the show.
All right. Thank you, KP. Yeah, I agree with her. The Bulls definitely have something special. And the return of Jordy Nelson definitely puts the Packers in, Super Bowl territory. They'll definitely be one of the best teams in the NFC, but they still have to worry about Arizona, and they're still going to have to worry about Carolina. Those really the only two teams I think they have to worry about. Well, no, let me not leave Seattle out, who I'm about to talk about next. As far as the NFC West. Okay, I'm going to break down the NFC West now. And that team I was just talking about, the Seahawks. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson look to return back to the Super Bowl in 2016-2017. This team will challenge or even beat Arizona for the NFC West supremacy. The Hawks made a valiant effort in the second half of their playoff game versus Carolina after being blasted by the Panthers in the first half. They were getting killed. Ultimately, Carolina won the game en route to the Super Bowl. Russ put up great numbers last season, finishing with 4,024 passing yards, 34 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, probably the best passing numbers Russell Wilson had since he's been in the league. The Seahawks receiving core is tough, gritty, and led by Doug Baldwin, who has 78 receptions for 1,069 yards receiving and 14 touchdowns, his best output as a pro. And then you had Jermaine Kearse, the other receiver, who had 49 receptions, 685 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. Slot receiver Tyler Lockett finished last year with 51 receptions, 664 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. Now, if former All-Pro tight end, and I'm saying former because you got to call him out because he just hasn't been the same since he left New Orleans. But if former All-Pro tight end Jimmy Graham is incorporated more to their offense and shows flashes of the player he was in New Orleans, the Seahawks will be extremely dangerous on offense. I mean, could you imagine? Because, I mean, you got Gronk as the number one tight end in the league. There was a time when Jimmy Graham was the number two, or they were even saying that they were 1 and 1A. when Jimmy Graham is in New Orleans, he was unstoppable. But the knock on him is that he don't like physicalness. And I've seen that. You know, I got to keep bringing up the Patriots somehow. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan. But the game when New Orleans played in Foxborough and Aqib Talib basically punked out Jimmy Graham for the whole game. He's pushing him, being physical with him. Jimmy Graham might have had, like, one catch in that game. So he needs to get tough. And I figure with him playing on Seattle, with that tough physical defense, bodying him in practice, that'll toughen him up. So Jimmy Graham could be any, you know, inkling of what he was in New Orleans. They're going to be hard to beat. With the retirement of Marshawn Lynch, second year back, Thomas Rawls looks to improve on his 147 carries, 830 rushing yards, and 4 touchdowns from last season. I mean, there is no question that the return of one of the best defenses in the NFL, playmakers on the defensive line such as Michael Bennett and Cliff Bryant, Cliff Averill put constant pressure on opposing quarterbacks. The secondary may be the best in the NFL with Richard Sherman and Jeremy Lane manning the corner positions. The Hawks also have 2 Pro Bowl safeties in Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, who's a beast. Linebackers K.J. Wright and Bobby Wagner round out a very tough and physical defense. I mean, expect big things from the Seahawks in the 2016-17 season. You know, I'm going to say that the Seahawks are going to win the division. If Russ can improve on what he did last year, I mean, Russell Wilson threw for 34 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Imagine a New Orleans type of Jimmy Graham in that offense. He might throw for 40-something this year. And, I mean, that trade can't be for nothing. So Jimmy Graham has to produce this season for the Seahawks. And if he does, the Seahawks are going to be one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. The next team in the NFC West, and guys, if you want to call in and chime in about any of these topics, if you want to talk to me about some fantasy football, I mean, football is finally here, man. I mean, we've been waiting. Sunday, football officially be here. We're going to have a preseason game between the Packers and the Colts. I mean, we may see the starters for one series. But I want to watch them, you know, watch those series of each team because I want to see if Andrew Luck is going to get the time he needs now in the pocket to be able to throw the ball, or is he going to still take a pounding? If he still takes a pounding, that means the Colts are not going to have a good season because Andrew Luck is going to get hurt again. And then I want to see if that Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers connection is still good. And then I want to see if Randall Cobb is going to try to redeem himself for the season he had last year and Devontae Adams. And then, like KC said, I want to see Eddie Lacy, the new Eddie Lacy, who shed about 40 pounds. I want to see, is he quicker? You know, because he was a good runner as a big man. How explosive is he going to be now when in the 220s? So I want to see what Eddie Lacy looks like. Now back to the NFC West. We got the Cardinals. Bruce Arians did a great coaching job last season. Unfortunately, the team ran into a buzzsaw in the Carolina Panthers. The Cards played the worst NFC championship game maybe ever, losing 49-15. I mean, they got waxed, man. That game was unwatchable. Quarterback Carson Palmer has to prove he can be more than a good regular season quarterback because, I mean, that's what you do. He had 4,635 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. He has the offensive talent to get it done, you know, with wily old vet Larry Fitzgerald, who had another good Pro Bowl type of season, 109 receptions, 1,215 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns. Fitz did his job. And then you had Michael Floyd, who had 52 receptions, but 849 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns. And then you had the little spark plug, who I picked up in fantasy numerous times, John Brown. He had 65 receptions for 1,003 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. The running attack is led by David Johnson, who was a dual threat out of the backfield last season with 581 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. He also had 36 receptions for 457 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. And you need that type of performance in the type of offense that Arizona runs. You need to be able to have a running back that can do both. You know, but they could also fall back on Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington, you know, in the running attack. The Cardinals will have a dynamic offense. And Arizona has one of the top defenses in the NFL with Tyrann Mathieu, who just signed a big deal, Patrick Peterson, Calais Campbell, and the addition of former Patriot Chandler Jones and first-rounder Robert Comichi out of Ole Miss. This makes the Card D even more potent. Arizona's success this season literally hinges on the performance of Carson Palmer, though. I mean, we got to see if Carson Palmer could be more than just a good regular season quarterback. Can he be a good postseason quarterback? That's the only way they're going to be able to get over the hump. It just seemed like he used to choke when he's in Cincinnati in the postseason, and unfortunately, they still had that curse under Andy Dalton. Cincinnati still chokes in the postseason, so maybe it was just a Cincinnati Bengal thing. But no, it's more than that because Carson Palmer, like I said, he's with a good winning team now. He still chokes in the playoffs. So it's a Carson Palmer thing. And he threw 4 picks in that Carolina game in the NFC Championship game last year. He threw 4 picks. 49-15 you lose in the game to go to the Super Bowl. Carson Palmer needs to change his ways if the Cardinals want to get over the hump and make it to the bowl. The next team in the NFC West division is the Rams. Rookie quarterback Jared Goff, they have high expectations for him. He's the number one draft pick. He was okay at Cal. I didn't see much out of him at Cal to say that he would be a star at the NBA NFL level right now, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? Todd Gurley, who was the star last year, top rookies last year. And I think he won Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. But he had 229 carries, 1,106 rushing yards, and 10 touchdowns. An excellent receiving rookie season. Expect him to have even more, you know, more numbers this year. I expect him to catch the ball out the backfield this year, too, to go along with his rushing. But they're going to need him to rush the ball to protect Jared Goff and not have Jared Goff in a situation where he just have to throw the ball and not have no running attack. So Todd Gurley is going to be vital to the success of the team. Their receiving core is pretty decent. Tavon Austin, quick slot receiver, makes plays. Kenny Britt, tough. Brian Quick, he's a tough receiver. And then they got tight end Lance Kendricks. So their receiving core is decent. Jared Goff has some targets to throw it to. Now, the Rams' defense is the standout of the team. And they led by Aaron Donald, who's a monster at defensive tackle. He pushes the opposing pocket, and he also has the capability to sack in the quarterback. The Rams have a young and tough defense, and depending on the growth of Jared Goff, L.A. may challenge for a wild card spot. Pending injuries, you know, all this is pending injuries. If these teams and their key players can stay injury-free, then we're going to have an interesting season in these divisions. And you know how it is with division rivals. They always play each other good because they know each other so well. So I can see the Rams making some noise in this division too. Now the last team is the 49ers. I don't even have much to say about them. I got 10 minutes left for the show. I'm not spending much time talking about them. But Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick are competing for the quarterback spot. And that's bad considering that Colin Kaepernick was a Super Bowl quarterback and he was good. And it's like once Jim Harbaugh left, his game just went down, you know, down to the gutter somewhere. He actually competing with Blaine Gabbert for the job. And they got a bunch of young players, inexperienced players, and I really don't see them being able to compete in the NFC West. Expect them to have a bad season. Chip Kelly doesn't have the horses he needs to be able to compete right now. So their project. I got 10 minutes left, guys, if you want to call and chime in on any of these topics. 1-516-453-9117. Now I want to talk about the Rio Olympics, man. Olympians will be competing in adverse situations. Sailors and marathon swimmers will have to compete in raw sewage waters that may be contaminated with a superbacteria. These Olympians should seriously consider not competing in the scheduled events. And some sailors have already complained about obtaining rashes after practicing in the waters. Brazil should really be hit hard by fines or whatever type of punishment they could receive, because they have known this day was coming. Brazil was awarded the Olympic bid back in 2006. So there's no excuse for them not to have everything prepared and have these situations taken care of when you had 10 years to do it. But the events that I'm interested in, that I'm going to talk about right fast, I love watching track and field. And my guy, Usain Bolt, I see him doing another sweep again. And he already said this is going to be his last Olympics. But Usain Bolt has 6 gold medals in 2 Olympics. He'll be seeking 3 more to finish up his Olympic career. In Rio, he will once again compete in the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and the 4x100 relay. If anyone can accomplish this feat, it's Usain Bolt, and I believe he will. I just don't see nobody beating him, man. Until I see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it. Another event I'm interested in is track and field. Gymnastics. Yeah, I watch gymnastics, man, because them girls be doing some stuff. They be doing some tricks, and it's just beautiful to watch. But Simone Biles, and she's looking to be the first African-American to win all-around Olympic gold. She comes to Rio as the 3-time world all-around champion, a 4-time United States national all-around champion, 3-time world floor exercise champion, and the 2-time world balance beam champion. So, guys, this girl is the truth. When she wins everything, they're expecting her to be the best ever. I mean, because they always talk about that Nadia Comăneci, I think she's Romanian. They always talk about her being the best ever. But evidently Simone Biles is, you know, the best ever. They expect her to be. But Biles is very accomplished and seems to have the whole pressure of the country on her shoulder. And I just want to wish Simone Biles good luck on her quest for gold, to stay focused and don't let any pressure get to her. You know, just go out there and relax and be yourself. Don't let the pressure of everyone, you know, wear you down. You go out there and compete and, you know, bring home the gold. Swimming. I like watching swimming. And Michael Phelps, he is the most decorated Olympian of all time with a total of 22 medals in 3 Olympics. He also holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals. He won 8 gold medals at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. At the 2012 Olympics in London, he won 4 golds and 2 silvers, making him the most successful athlete of the Games for 3 straight Olympics. So he retired after the last Olympics. He decided to come back for this one. And I know those other swimmers like, damn, man, won't you just stay retired, because they want to win. But, I mean, who knows? He's older now. He's 31. Maybe he might have got a step slower. We'll find out. Another event I always watch, the men's basketball. I don't watch the women's, because the women, they just dominate everybody. At least with the men, I mean, they dominate teams. You know, expect both U.S. basketball squads to run away with their tournament for the gold medal. And like I said, especially the women, because they have dominated the competition for years. I mean, at least with the men, they actually sometimes have a challenge, you know, with teams like Spain, Lithuania. Those teams usually give the U.S. a good challenge. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen this year. I'm thinking that the U.S. is going to run away with it. The men, you know, the women too. But the men, I think they'll run away with it too. But it might be a chance that Spain actually can challenge them. I mean, so we'll see. But those are the events that I like to watch. I like to watch track and field. I like to watch, you know, the swimming. Sometimes I even watch diving, and I like to watch gymnastics, and then I watch the men's basketball. I don't watch the women's because, like I said, they just dominate everybody. It is never a competitive game with the women. I mean, you can clearly see that the American women are above the rest when it comes to basketball. At least a couple of years, you know, you had the men's team losing. They lost a couple of times. They haven't won every Olympics. And now I'm going to talk about, I'm going to get into the Major League. Well, first I'm going to take a break. Guys, if you want to call, I got 4 minutes left of the show. If you want to talk about the NFC West or the AFC West, I broke down all the teams. If you want to talk about them, if you got a fantasy football question, if you want to talk about all the guys that's enshrined in the Hall of Fame this weekend, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. Got 4 minutes left. Welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. I'm going to do a quick MLB rundown. Last night's scores, you had the Philadelphia Phillies beating the San Francisco Giants 13-8. You had my favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, going down to the Detroit Tigers 5-11. You had the Texas Rangers losing to the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. You had the Minnesota Twins beating the Cleveland Indians 10-6. You had the St. Louis Cardinals losing to the Cincinnati Reds 7-5. The Subway Series, you had the New York Mets beating the New York Yankees 7-1. You had the Kansas City Royals beating the Tampa Bay Rays 3-2. You had the Pittsburgh Pirates beating my Atlanta Braves 5-3. And you had those Chicago Cubbies beating the Florida Marlins 3-2. And you had the Rockies, Colorado Rockies, beating the LA Dodgers 7-3. So those are just some of the scores from last night in baseball. Like I said, for the AFC West, I'm going with the Oakland Raiders to win the division. I'm just going out on a limb. I mean, why not be different? They got the talent in place. I believe Derek Carr is going to get better. That combination of him and Amari Cooper is going to be even more lethal. Crabtree, he showed up last year. I expect him to show up again this year. Latavius Murray and in the running attack is going to be even better. And that defense made big strides, and I expect them to be even better. So maybe this is the year where the people in the black hole could celebrate an AFC West title and a playoff berth. Maybe they might even get a home game. And in the NFC West, I'm going with Seattle, man. I mean, I like what they did. I like how Russ played last year. And Jimmy Graham has to get better. I mean, you can't do nothing but go up after having such a horrible season last year. And if Jimmy Graham could play like he played for the Saints, Seattle's going to win that division. They'll edge out Arizona, but they'll win. So I want to end the show on this. Sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without it? Guys, thank you for calling, all my callers. I'll do this again Saturday at 6:30, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys. Thank you.